Welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship, a virtual gathering of believers seeking to better understand the Word of God, with your hosts, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, and Sam T. Doxson. Greetings from the beautiful Missouri Ozarks, and welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship Old Testament Study for Sunday, September the 4th. There we are, 2016. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our fellowship. We're so glad you've joined us. If you just recently started listening to these, we've got all of the previous ones in the archives. We've done more than 100 of these fellowship studies, and we pray you're getting something out of it. Many of you have taken the time to write to us and tell us how you're enjoying it. You're doing it with family or just by yourself or in the car. Some of you do it while walking or mowing the lawn, the way I listen to music. But we're grateful to the Lord if He has shown you something through these hours that we spend together. And if you want to know where it is we've been and where we're going, go to gilberthouse.org and take a listen. You can also subscribe there.
Mm-hmm.
Was it top left side?
Yeah, left-hand column right under the header. You can subscribe via email so that every time we upload a new study, you'll get an email notice. And you can subscribe via iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. Stitcher is another one. And every time we upload, it will automatically download the audio for you so that you'll have it right there, the latest ones on your machine. And of course, the archives going all the way back, all 112 now, back to Genesis 1:1, are there at gilberthouse.org, gilberthouse.org. And the right-hand column, you'll find the upcoming readings as we go through these in chronological order, which is why we skip around a bit. But it gives a unique perspective. I'm glad you thought of using this instead of just going through the standard reading order, which is just reading the books of the Bible in order. Going through chronologically, where you skip back and forth between the Psalms and the events in the lives of David and Solomon and the others who wrote the Psalms is really interesting. And then we're finding in the New Testament study now, where we juxtapose the book of Acts with now some of the epistles of Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Are really interesting.
And Galatians actually, this morning. Woo.
Oh, yeah. That is a key book of the Bible because it really lays out. And we'll see this again repeated through other epistles. The epistle to the letter to the Hebrews is also very important in understanding the relationship between grace and law. And that's something that Christians have been arguing about since the first century, and the debates continue today. But it was really interesting to see, and this morning I found a good map to include. It helps visualize where Galatia even was, so that you know who Paul was writing to, and then tracks his missionary journey through Asia Minor, through Anatolia, and on into Greece. So found a great PDF copy of and I can't find any copyright information on it, so I felt okay to use it. Found these maps at other websites as well by a group called the Access Foundation, which has a Bible Atlas. You can find it online if you search in PDF form. And like 122 pages of maps stretching from Genesis 1:1 through the apostolic period. So some really helpful maps to help you visualize the lands of the Bible. Today we have one psalm and a couple chapters in 1 Kings. We'll open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for preserving your word for us, that you might work through us, encouraging us and guiding us in your way. We pray as we study, Lord, that you'll help us to best understand your word according to your will, to the best of our ability. We know we will never understand your will perfectly, Father. And we certainly won't follow it perfectly. But Lord, if you can help us draw closer to the goal, to grow and to become more godly in our walk with each passing day, Lord, that would be a blessing. Father, open our hearts and our minds as we read your words this day, and let your Spirit, Lord, help us to understand. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Psalm 119 is...
it's an acrostic. It's the longest psalm, longest chapter in the Bible, and it's an acrostic that the sections are named for the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, but each line within each section begins with that letter if in the original Hebrew.
Ah, right, okay. Well, it means I get to... do my best to pronounce the Hebrew letters, and we'll see how... badly I can mangle that. Oh, and before we start today, just a reminder that this being the first Sunday of the month, we will honor the Lord's Supper at the end of the study this morning, so you'll have time to grab the elements, even if you have to hit the pause button. Psalm 119. Great. 176 verses. Warm up here.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless.
No, you have to pronounce that. Aleph.
Oh, Aleph. Okay. Aleph. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes, that I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me.
How about if I take every other one?
Well, why don't we alternate that? That's a good idea.
Beth, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. And bear in mind, Lord, all caps.
Mm-hmm.
This is Yahweh. Blessed are you, O Yahweh.
Right.
Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. And the alternate wording there is, if it'll pop up, all the just decrees of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
Gimel, deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. And that is true, like the old song, this earth is not my home, I'm just passing through.
Mm-hmm.
My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. And again, that is also just decrees. Yeah. For your just decrees at all times, you rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors.
Daleth, not Dalek, just so you know. It's Daleth.
And by the way, these princes...
supernatural beings?
It is... possible, yes. I think I will look that up quickly while you continue on. So just mentally bookmark verse 23.
My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules, your just decrees. By the way, I think each time it says rules in this psalm, it is just decrees.
Mm-hmm.
I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. And it is, for you set my heart free.
Hmm. And by the way, back to verse 23, that word princess does refer to earthly rulers.
Oh.
So, yeah, just
interesting
wanted to make sure.
Plotting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, that happened to David a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, which is the letter here.
What? Sorry, tick reference. Couldn't help it.
Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life.
I think this is pronounced Vav.
Yes.
Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules, in your just decrees. Mm-hmm. I will keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. You know, this connects in an interesting way to Galatians from this morning, because Paul right. was talking about the law and are we children of the law or children of grace?
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately his final, you know, admonition is we are children of grace, but the law is there for a reason.
Right.
And all of those things were fulfilled. So by keeping God's law, he still has rules.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to treat each other with love.
Right. The law was brought about because of our sin.
Yeah.
And
but you cannot keep every jot and tittle, every law. You
right.
will always fail in something.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are covered with his blood and when in eternity we no longer have these fallen natures, then we will be one with him and we will still have free will,
mm-hmm.
but we will delight in his law in the way that in his just decrees mm-hmm. From the throne.
Mm-hmm.
I will keep your law continually forever and ever, and I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame, for I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes.
Hmm. Zion, remember your word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts.
Heth, the Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules, your just decrees.
Mm-hmm.
I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. It is not right now full of his steadfast love.
That's true.
It is full of his love,
mm-hmm.
but the love for him and the love for his word, that day's coming.
Yeah. Teth, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. And this is something we should all pray for.
Mm-hmm.
Good judgment, knowledge, wisdom.
True wisdom.
True
yes.
wisdom. The beginning of which is the fear of the Lord, we
mm-hmm.
know from the word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. That's interesting. Good that I was afflicted. So this is basically appreciating God's goodness, Yahweh's goodness, even through trials.
Mm-hmm. I want to see what the word here, ana, if I can get the connection to go. To be occupied, to be busy with, to be humbled, oppressed, to be bowed down, to be afflicted, to be depressed or downcast, to stoop, to be humbled, to weaken oneself. Yeah, so it doesn't necessarily mean that you were physically abused. It means that you've gone through troubles, and that's what the Lord does. He uses trials
mm-hmm.
to bring us to him and to teach us.
Yeah.
If only we'd learn them without that.
Exactly. I'm certainly thankful that I've not been tested like some other folks we know have been in order to test their faith. You know, we've all had difficult periods in our lives, but there are some folks who just, you know, their lives read like the book of Job almost. And I certainly have not had to endure that kind of thing. So.
Well, you know what James says, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials.
Yeah. Well, it's all well and good when it ain't happening to you. That's where the rubber really meets the road.
Yeah.
Verse 70 again, their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces.
Yod, your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. And I want to stop really quickly. There's definitely a theme about loving his law, loving his commandments, loving his rules, learning his word, inscribing it in your heart. These are things that, again, Paul admonishes us to do. But because this is a device to help learn how to grow closer to him,
mm-hmm.
that's the reason for the acrostic, so you can memorize this.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous. Again, your just
mm-hmm.
decrees. And that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the insolent be put to shame because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, that they may know your testimony, that they may know your testimonies. May your heart be blameless in your statutes. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame.
Kaf. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I have not forgotten your statutes. Wineskin in the smoke.
That's the skin that's being dried out to make into a...
Could be, or just an old, dried-out wineskin that's not good for anything anymore.
Could be.
Yeah. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life, that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth.
Notice, too, how similar the Greek alphabet is to, the Hebrew is to Greek.
Yeah.
Lamed. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment, they stand this day, for all things are your servants. All things are your servants. All things were created by him. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad.
Mem. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged or the elders, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way.
Mm. Noon. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. And of course, word is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever, to the end.
Samek. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up, that I may be safe, and have regard for your statutes continually. You spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments.
Ayin, I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. My eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. This is something that the Old Testament prophets, as marvelous as it was to communicate directly with the Lord God Almighty, they were looking forward to the sacrifice of Christ Jesus.
Right.
We look backward toward that, and that was truly the dividing point of history. That is the center focal point of history. History is his story.
Mm-hmm. That's why I don't get hung up on the BCE, CE thing. I said, okay, before Christian era and Christian era.
Yeah.
Okay, so what? It still divides on his birth. Yeah.
Amen. My eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way.
Pay. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I sure hope that's true in my case. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law.
Tzade, righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is righteousness forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live.
Just a brief rabbit trail here. The word righteous or righteousness appears numerous times in that stanza, four times at least. The Hebrew word is tzaddik or tzedek, and there are some scholars who, because of the way it's used in names, like, for example, Melchizedek,
yes,
who's ruler of righteousness. There are some who think that it takes the form of theophoric name. There are many of those in the Old Testament and in the ancient Near East, names that include the name of a god, like some of the Syrian or Aramean kings, like Hadad-Ezer or Baal-Hadad, the name of the god. So there are some who think that Sedeq was actually a deity in the Canaanite cosmology. I don't necessarily buy that. Certainly in this, it wouldn't make any sense in this particular
Oh, no, that's
stanza.
Not what they're referring to here.
But absolutely
not. There have been imitations and false versions of the Lord God Almighty from day one.
Right, and that's my point. It's the enemy throwing sand in the eyes of the skeptics. Mm-hmm. They say, oh, well, this looks kind of like that, so this must
Part
be another.
Psyop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cough.
Sorry, couldn't help it.
With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. I call to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love, O Lord. According to your justice, give me life. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever.
Resh, look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. This is exactly what our advocate in heaven does.
Mm-hmm.
This is what our high priest king does. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust, because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever.
Sin and Sheen. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. And this isn't a command to do a certain thing at a certain number of times per day. 7 is the number of completion or perfection in the Bible. So this is just an example of praying continuously, which we are called to do in the New Testament.
By the way, I think the letters Sin and Sheen are the same word. Same letter.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking that up now to see if there's a variant. If one has a diacritical mark or something, it makes it different. But I think they're the same. Again, 22 letters. Traditionally, there are some old ones that sort of dropped in use, if I understand it. And again, that's a Mike Heiser question. But I will say quickly, I love the fact that there are 22 letters. There are 22 somatic chromosomes.
Oh,
in the human cell.
Right. Okay. All right. So you got the Hebrew as a sort of code.
Well, sometimes you might think of it that way.
The genetic code of the Bible, as it were. Yeah. Well, let's see, 162 again. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them accordingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you.
Tov, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and for your law, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. I love that last line because, mm-hmm. of course, that's something that the Lord talks about, how going after the lost sheep is so important, the one out of the hundred.
Right.
Yeah. And this, of course, again, because this goes from the first letter to the last, this is essentially the Alpha and the Omega.
That's a really good point. Good way to cap Psalm 119. So now we go to we go to 1 Kings 3. So now we get back into some actual
history.
Get into some history here. 1 Kings 3, as last we left off, Solomon had to deal with yet another rebellion. Those brothers were causing problems. 1 Kings 3, verse 1. Solomon made
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Old Testament.
Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. David Roll, the archaeologist featured in Patterns of Evidence, shows that archaeologists have dug up what appears to be the house that Solomon built for Pharaoh's daughter.
Hmm.
And I forget exactly why it's identified as such, but it is, in his opinion, pretty clear connection. In spite of what, you know, skeptics say, that there is nothing outside of the Bible that even attests to the historicity of Solomon and David.
Yeah, right.
If you look.
There have been digs in Solomon's stable. Stables, too.
Yeah.
So.
And there's, of course, the Tel Dan Stela, which was probably set up by the kingdom of Aram Damascus, referring to, Bet Daoud, the house of David,
mm-hmm.
I've been reading for a while now, as I've been going through these academic papers, that the first extra-biblical reference to Yahweh is on a stela from Egypt that refers to the Shazu of Yahweh. So they're thinking, oh, okay, Yahweh originated in Edom. No. But I'm finding that among the Amorites, before the 13th century BC, which is what the stela dates to, there were a number of names with that theophoric formula, that with names like Yahweh Adad or Yahweh Dagon, which means Yahweh is like Dagon, Yahweh is like Adad, which isn't true.
No.
Yeah, of course, the Amorites were apparently cursed anyway by God, because they were more or less wiped out of history. They subset became the Arameans, but anyway, the archaeology is there. That's the whole point. Verse 2, the people were sacrificing he took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people were sacrificing at the high places, however, because no house had yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father, only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places.
His wives
kind of loved the Lord. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar.
That's a lot.
Yeah. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked, "Ask what shall I give you? Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord, my God," again, this would be, "and now, Yahweh, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And Solomon said to him, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. Then two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, "O my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. Then on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth, and we were alone. And there was no one else with us in the house, only we two were in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while your servant slept, and laid him at her breast, and laid her dead son at my breast. When I arose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, behold, he was not the child that I had born." But the other woman said, "No, the living child is mine, and the dead child is yours." The first said, "No, the dead child is yours, and the living child is mine." Thus they spoke before the king. Then the king said, "The one says, 'This is my son that is alive, and your son is dead.' And the other says, 'No, but your son is dead, and my son is the living one.'" And the king said, "Bring me a sword." So a sword was brought before the king. And the king said, "Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other." Then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, "O my lord, give her the living child, and by no means put him to death." But the other said, "He shall neither be mine nor yours. Divide him." Then the king answered and said, "Give the living child to the first woman, and by no means put him to death. She is his mother." And all Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king, because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice.
Love that story.
Mm-hmm.
1 Kings chapter 4. King Solomon was king over all Israel, and these were his high officials. Azariah the son of Zadok was the priest. Elihoreph and Ahijah, the sons of Shisha, were secretaries. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was in command of the army. Zadok and Abiathar were priests. Azariah, the son of Nathan, was over the officers. Zabud, the son of Nathan, was priest and king's friend. Ahishar was in charge of the palace, and Adoniram, the son of Abda, was in charge of the forced labor. Forced labor.
Yeah, the Canaanites and so forth.
Solomon had 12 officers over all Israel who provided food for the king and his household. Each man had to make provision for 1 month in the year. These were their names. Ben-Hur.
Oh, yeah.
That's where the name comes from. Of course, the movie's been remade again.
Yeah, and Ben-Hur in the movie, of course, is 1,000 years in the future from Solomon.
Yeah, but I mean, that's still where the name is, you know.
Son of Hur, yeah.
Ben-Hur in the hill country of Ephraim, Ben-Deker in Machaz, Shalbim, Beth Shemesh, and Elon Beth Hanan, Ben Hesed in Aruboth, to him belonged Sukkot and all the land of Hefer, Ben Abinadab, and in all Nephador, he had Taphath, the daughter of Solomon, as his wife, Baana, the son of Ahilud, the Ta'anach, in Ta'anach Megiddo, and all Beth She'an, and in is beside Zerethan, below Jezreel, and from Beth She'an to Abel Meholah, as far as the other side of Jokmeam. Ben Geber, in Ramoth Gilead, he had the villages of Jair, the son of Manasseh, which are in Gilead, and he had the region of Argob, which is in Bashan. 60 great cities with walls and bronze bars. There was a reason why they had walls and bronze bars. They were in Bashan.
Right, yes.
Ahinadab, the son of Iddo, in Mahanaim. Ahimaaz in Naphtali. He had taken Basimath, the daughter of Solomon, as his wife. Baana, the son of Hushai in Asher and Baaloth, Jehoshaphat, the son of Parua in Issachar, Shimei, the son of Elah in Benjamin, Geber, the son of Uri in the land of Gilead, the son of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and of Og, king of Bashan. And there was one governor who was over the land. Judah and Israel were as many as the sand by the sea. They ate and drank and were happy.
The golden age.
Well, and it's also a fulfillment of the prophecy. The Lord said, I will make your descendants as the sand of the sea.
Yeah. And one can argue that, well, we haven't gotten to the verse yet, but the land promise to Abraham may have been fulfilled in the time of Solomon.
And it will be fulfilled again.
Yeah.
Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates to the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. Solomon's provision for one day was 30 cores of fine flour. That's 6 bushels or 220 liters of fine flour, and 60 cores. That's 12 bushels or 440 liters of meal.
That's a lot.
10 fat oxen. No skinny ones allowed.
That's a lot.
And 20 pasture-fed cattle. 100 sheep, besides deer, gazelles, roebucks, and fattened fowl. They ate lots of good meals. For he had dominion over all the region west of the Euphrates, from Tipshah to Gaza, over all the kings west of the Euphrates. And he had peace on all sides around him. And Judah and Israel lived in safety from Dan even to Beersheba, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, all the days of Solomon. Solomon also had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots. Wasn't there a command from the Lord, when you have a king, tell him not to gather and, you know, get lots of horses, because that's war?
Well, are you thinking about the time when God told Samuel to tell the people of Israel, this is what you'll get if you get a king?
Well, there's also a rule. He says, don't have him, multiply horses, and don't have him have lots of wives. Two things Solomon chose to do.
Well, yeah.
Solomon also had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And those officers supplied provisions for King Solomon and for all who came to King Solomon's table, each one in his month. They let nothing be lacking.
This is essentially, this is sort of a feudal arrangement.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because they're all, yeah.
Barley also, and straw for the horses, and swift steeds they brought to the place where it was required, each according to his duty. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. That's a big deal. For he was wiser than all other men, wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame, we need to look all these names up. And his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs. We don't have all of them. We don't have 3,000, but I don't think. And his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts and of birds and of reptiles and of fish. And people from all the nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom.
There's something that's tickling in the back of my mind here, and I'm looking up the name Shisha, who was the father of the two secretaries of Solomon. Because I'm thinking, and it could be very dangerous, there was a pharaoh who raided Jerusalem and plundered the temple during the reign of Solomon's son, Rehoboam. typically identified with Shawshank. It's Shishak in the Bible, but identified with Shawshank. But David Roll argues that Ramses the second, Ramses the Great, should be Pharaoh who raided the temple, and that it's recorded as Shishak in the Bible because Ramses, as it was pronounced in ancient Egyptian, his nickname would have been Shisha, I think. So I'm wondering, because Solomon took the daughter of Pharaoh for wife, I wonder if he also took in his sons as secretaries.
I don't know, but here's an interesting connection to that, which connects to what I asked a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 17. Only he, the king, must not acquire many horses for himself or cause the people to return to Egypt in order to acquire many horses.
Mm-hmm.
Since the Lord has said to you, you shall never return that way again.
Well, that's interesting because the introduction of the chariot, horse-drawn chariot to Egypt, was when the Canaanites called the Hyksos by the well, Greeks, it's a transliteration of the Egyptian. They were the ones who first brought, the Egyptians didn't have chariots until the Hyksos came in and
exactly.
basically.
But what did Solomon do? Married Pharaoh's daughter.
Married Pharaoh's daughter.
Gathered up, multiplied his horses,
right.
has chariots.
And those would have been of Canaanite origin and derivation. In fact, Ramses II, Ramses the Great, if he was the Pharaoh who served alongside Solomon at the same time as Solomon, just read a paper a couple of weeks ago by a guy who argues that the Ramesside pharaohs, Seti I, Ramses II, Ramses the Great, Ramses III, were actually descendants of the Hyksos. They were worshippers of Baal, Baal Set. Ramses II is the one who set up that stela honoring Set in northern Egypt. So, and I was right. Roll argues that Shishak in the Bible is Shisha, or the nickname for Ramses the Great.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bible has a Shisha whose sons were Solomon's secretaries. It's conceivable. I mean, Solomon married an Egyptian.
It is very possible. My point is not so much to connect it with the Hyksos, but just to say
right.
he may have loved the Lord, and I don't doubt it for a minute, but like many people, like every human in the Old Testament, with the exception, in the Bible, with the exception of Jesus Christ, he sinned.
Right.
He disobeyed.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he was really wise, he still did these things. And why do you keep a standing army?
Right. To oppress people and to conquer and to magnify, glorify yourself. It's like, look, God has given you the Holy Land.
And he's living in a time of peace, and yet he's got a standing army.
Right, right. That's a really good point. I'm looking now to see if the name Elihoref is a Hebrew name, or is it, what's the derivation there? Well, this is something
to look
up. Well,
that book just got longer.
Yeah, something to look up later on, but that's interesting stuff, this little reference there. Because I hadn't seen David, and maybe I skipped over it in his book, make that reference to the father of Solomon's secretaries, but he does contend that it was Ramses II who was concurrent with Solomon and then raided the temple after Solomon's demise and the rebellion of Jeroboam. But anyway, since this is the first Sunday of the month, we'll remember the Lord's sacrifice for us in the way that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this being a long weekend, we hope that your day off for Labor Day or on Labor Day or
Grace Day.
Grace Day, because we're not laboring.
It's not works based.
That's right. The works are just the product of faith. We pray that they will be a time of relaxation and recharging for you. If you do have to work tomorrow, God bless you.
Mm-hmm. Probably means you're either serving in healthcare or, somehow protecting us. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. First responders. This coming week on Skywatch TV should be really interesting. The first of 3 weeks of interviews with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn.
Mm-hmm.
His new book is out called The Book of Mysteries. It's a really interesting study.
And the first one airs tonight, and beginning on Tuesday.
It runs on Monday. Well, it actually aired this morning
ran today, say, so you're right. But beginning Tuesday mm-hmm. is the release of his new book. And so beginning Tuesday, you will be able to get this fabulous collection of books and products for a great deal.
Mm, yeah. Tom Horn, typical, buy a book, get an RV. So
our warehouse is stuffed.
Oh, yeah.
We huge crates of books that
brought in all kinds of stuff to accommodate the deal. So you'll find that at skywatchtv.com. Tonight on A View from the Bunker, the first of two interviews that I did with people connected to a new film. It's been out for a little while, but it's a relatively new documentary film, about an hour long. It's aired on a number of PBS stations around the country, called Hard to Believe. And it's because the subject matter, when you hear it, is hard to believe. It's that the Chinese government is live harvesting organs from prisoners of conscience, members of the Falun Gong cult, some Christians, political prisoners. Mm. They are basically, and it's not a secret in the halls of government here in the United States, but and in other Western nations. But apparently, there are, for whatever reason, there's a real reluctance to call out the government of China on this. Could be because China owns so much U.S. debt in the form of treasuries. It could be because we don't want to go toe-to-toe with them in the South China Sea just yet. I don't know. But for whatever reason, or maybe it's just because there are a lot of people who are pressuring the government not to make a stink about it, because there are people of wealth thinking that someday I may need a kidney or a liver or a lung. And the place where I, or a heart, and the one place in the world where I know it and I can get one and schedule one instead of waiting until one becomes available suddenly, like here in the U.S. and other Western nations, I can schedule one in China. And there are hotels being built next to prisons to facilitate this organ transplant tourism.
Yeah.
So that is the interview on A View from the Bunker, vftb.net. It's also at my YouTube channel. YouTube.com/Derek Gilbert. It's disturbing, and like the title of the movie, hard to believe, but it is going on.
Well, if you want to understand how the West is looked upon by China right now, take a look at the group photo, the class photo for the G20 meeting that just concluded. You'll see where Obama and Theresa May, who is the Prime Minister of Great Britain, where they rank.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, the President of the United States stands right next to the host country.
Right. Right center of the stage. And here
he's
pushed
standing
out.
Between Angela Merkel and Erdogan, between Germany and Turkey. That's where Xi from China, the host country, is standing.
Right. So he's got Erdogan right next to him.
Those are
the president of Turkey. Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Quite interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Obama is shoved off to Angela Merkel's right.
I wonder why. The Chinese have a problem with a Turkic people in their western province. The Uyghurs are Turkic.
Yes.
So they may be wanting to make nice, because the Uyghurs have been a problem for the Chinese in Xinjiang province for a long time.
That's possible, but also Germany and Turkey have been buddies for a long time. Mm-hmm. Not always publicly buddies, but they've had a long-standing deal that goes back to the First World War.
Yeah. Well, return of the Ottoman Empire. And interestingly enough, Erdogan has said he wants Turkey to be a world power by 2022, which is the 100th anniversary of the dissolution of the Ottoman Empire.
Now, why is Theresa May relegated off to the very edge of like the second or third row?
Brexit,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's being punished by Merkel.
Yeah, interesting. Well, all that stuff, all of these plots and plans by the rulers of the world are just...
They mean nothing.
They mean nothing in vain.
Yeah.
Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, which guides us, and Lord, just shows us the emphasis on your statutes, your rules. We know that those are not the path to salvation, Lord, but we do know that as a standard of righteousness, nothing has changed. Lord, we pray for guidance and wisdom to understand your will and understand your statutes, and grant us the courage, Father, to live according to them, even when doing so is inconvenient. Father, we pray for your guidance, for blessing on those who are struggling, Lord, those who are feeling cut off from you, struggling financially, spiritually, and physically, emotionally, Lord. We ask for your comfort. And those who are preaching the gospel in the dangerous places of the world, Father, we ask for your protection and for your encouragement. Lord, we pray for your guidance, for wisdom and understanding. And Father, we ask all these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. We post a new Bible study each Sunday morning. Join the discussion at the Gilbert House Fellowship page on Facebook. Subscribe to our podcast feed and explore the archives online at gilberthouse.org.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear.